because we know in a few weeks it won't be like this. So enjoy every moment. But we are thankful that you're here. This is the, I call it the month of thankfulness. Every day should be thankfulness. But for some reason, because of Thanksgiving, November makes me more thankful. And for that, I'm thankful. So hopefully this morning you can think about everything that you have to be thankful for. You can think about hopefully the number one thing in your life that you have to be thankful for is the Lord. That is my prayer. Of course, I pray that the church family is a blessing to you, and then just continue that list and just go right down. This morning, before we do prayer requests, do we have any praises? Sisters of the Faith. Lord, this morning, Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, Father, most of all, we're thankful for the opportunity to be able to experience a relationship with you, Lord, to find purpose in this life, Lord, to find peace and comfort in a difficult and weary world. And Father, we have many things to give to you this morning. Father, Lord, many requests, many needs. Lord, we pray for each person going through cancer. We have many in our community going through cancer. Lord, we pray for this young lady, Miss Melissa, going through brain cancer, Lord, and just her children and just the whole situation, Father. Lord, we pray for her. And Lord, we pray for each situation mentioned this morning, those in the hospital, those who are coming home. Father, we pray for those who are just struggling with different health issues. And Lord, we pray, Father, that we as your children can be your hands and your feet. Lord, let us encourage people. Let us love people. Lord, let us serve people. And Father, I pray this morning as we prepare for a time of Bible study that you will just focus our hearts, Lord. Just speak to us, Lord. Just take away the distractions and the busyness of this life. And Lord, just give us a stillness that we only find in you. Lord, we love you. And Father, we are thankful for who you are. We ask this in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, we are, of course, covering doctrine, the Baptist faith, the message. And we will be in Article 13 this morning, and that is stewardship. Now, when we talk about stewardship, a.k.a. giving, sometimes people get nervous. You know, oh, no, here comes the preacher. He's talking about giving. And I just want to say this. Stewardship is a form of worship. It has taken me a long time to understand that. Often when I think about worship, I think about a service. I think about Bible reading. I think about prayer. I think about serving people. But in that definition of worshiping God, a part of that is stewarding what God gives you and I. And that is what we're talking about this morning. So let's go into this topic with open minds and just let us understand that the Bible talks a lot about stewardship. The first verse we're going to look at here is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Very familiar verses. We've covered these not too long ago. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so Jesus is telling his followers, make sure your treasure is not focused on this earth. Jesus is saying very clearly, do not get so entangled in your earthly possessions that becomes your happy place. And that's a temptation, let's be honest. I mean, it's a temptation to make our earthly possessions our place that we guard, our idol. And Jesus, and by the way, there's a misconception that Jesus doesn't want people with wealth. That's not true. Jesus speaks often about those who have wealth. And whether you have wealth or whether you do not have wealth, that's not the problem. The problem is, what are you doing with what you have? That is the focus on the heart of Jesus. The first thing we're going to cover this morning is understanding stewardship. And so a big part of this is understanding what stewardship is. Now, that term stewardship, the definition, is the responsibility to manage resources that God has placed in our care. Now, money is not the only thing under your stewardship. Real fast, I want you to think about your life. And if you have a pen or paper, you can write this down real fast. Think about everything that you possess or that you have some control over. Maybe it's children in your home. Maybe it's grandchildren. Maybe it's property. Maybe it's a position that you have with work. Maybe it is financial. Whatever it is, that is what you are responsible for being a steward over. God has placed those things under your care. Now, that is no small thing. And that is something for you and I to take great mindfulness of. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would see fit to place things under our care. How powerful that is. Now, we cannot understand the biblical vision of the Christian life without embracing the biblical concept of stewardship. Adam and Eve, what did the Lord put them over when it came to stewardship? The garden. Everything in the garden was under their care. So we see from the very beginning stewardship. And we see that throughout the Old and the New Testament. Now, the biblical view that God owns all things stands in opposition to how many people today feel that we have control of things. And what I mean by that is this. We live in a culture that tells you and I that it's ours. We're in control. This is our world. And the Bible goes against that every single time. The Bible says that everything is His. Even what we possess, that list that you just had in your mind, that's not yours. And you might say, well, hold on, Tyler. It's my spouse. It's my children. It's my job. It's my money. Biblically speaking, if you are a believer in Jesus, nothing is yours. That is a hard reality to swallow. But it is a biblical principle. You and I, we have to understand that biblically, being a good steward means that we are entrusted with what the Lord has given us. And we have a Christian responsibility to manage those things well. I like history. In medieval times, often if a lord had an area where he was, you know, he was his lordship, he would have a steward. And that steward, when the Lord was gone, when he had to go somewhere else, that steward was in charge. And he had to make sure everything got done. Now, was everything, did it all belong to him? No. He was just a steward. Did he have authority? Could he make decisions? Yes. But he did not own it. You and I, we have to understand that what God has given us, we do not own. We have stewardship over those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20 tells us that for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is a beautiful verse. Paul is boldly saying, listen, when you have accepted Jesus, when you understood that Jesus died on the cross for you, that his blood was meant for you, and when you accepted that, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When we say, Lord, save me. Father, wash me over with salvation. Lord, take away the uncleanness. Lord, I need you. What we are saying is, Lord, I am submitting to you, not my will, your will be done. And that is a beautiful thing to say, but sometimes it's a hard thing to understand what we're saying yes to. We're saying yes to surrendering the lordship of our life over to Jesus. We are saying, Lord, not my will, but your will. So here's the question. Do we understand that all that we have and all that we are the Lord's? and that as he leads, we should follow. Now, church, this is not an easy principle, but once again, when we live this out, when we live out biblical stewardship, people can see the fingerprints of God on our lives. When we're not selfish, when we're not prideful, when we're not holding on to everything for dear life, when we are quick to give, when we are quick to submit, when we are quick to say, not mine, but his, people know, well, has to be Jesus, has to be somebody besides that person. Now, Jesus warned that material possessions can represent an incredible danger for Christians. Like I said earlier, Jesus warned us of this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, you cannot serve God and wealth. Jesus' point is clear. His redeemed people are to put money, wealth, material possessions, everything they have in their proper place and allow God to work through those things. Do you know that God wants you to use what you have under your care for his will? He wants to bless you by you allowing him to bless others through you. Not just financially, but in every area, with your time, with your resources, with your knowledge, with who you are. The Lord wants to bless others by blessing you, but for you to be blessed, you have to submit yourself to him. You have to say, God, I'm not controlling this. I'm letting you control it. Lord, I want you to be in charge of my life. And you might say, well, Tyler, I'm saved. I've already done that. Well, amen. That's salvation. This is discipleship. Salvation is a one-time occurrence. You go from death to life. Discipleship is a moment-by-moment choice. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. The second thing this morning, for the glory of God. That is what stewardship is all about, for the glory of God. Christian stewardship extends beyond money to our energy, to our time, and to who we are. Yesterday, I got a little moody. I get moody sometimes. If you talk to Amber and Trey, I get moody a whole lot. Sometimes we forget that it's not our world. It's God's. And it's easy to become selfish. It's easy to become controlling. And the truth is, when that happens, there's a temptation to not let God use you in the way that he desires. The Lord, he wants you to rest. The Lord wants you to have your quiet time. If you're working so much, if you're going 90 miles per hour, and if you can't even spiritually recharge, then you are too busy. You're more busy than God wants you to be. But the Lord wants you and I to allow him to work in such a way that everything we do, the Lord receives the glory. A mature Christian understands that material possessions or money cannot buy what is most important, and that is the priceless treasures of salvation through Jesus. This morning, if you know the Lord, if you're saved, it's not because of wealth, it's not because of family title, it's not because of church membership, it's because you recognized your need for Jesus, it's because you surrendered that need to Jesus. And now, as a Christian, you are called to be a steward. And I know we have people in different ages in here. We have teenagers, young adults who maybe you don't have a lot under your care. Or maybe you are a more mature Christian and the Lord has placed more things under your care. Wherever you are, you have things to steward. If nothing else, your body is to be a steward. And you might say, well, hold on, what do you mean? How you treat others, how you speak to others, how you value others, If you are bought with a price, if you belong to Jesus, is it your body or is it his body? Now, once again, that goes completely against the world. But biblically speaking, we're not in control. We have submitted that power and control to the Lord. Christians should be known for their generosity. A person should see generosity. They should see kindness. They should see love. They should see compassion in Christians. If we look at the history of the Christian church has been associated with establishing missions, orphanages, hospitals. The history of the church has been ripe with helping others. Why? Because of the example of Jesus Christ. When people look at your life, when they look at my life, do they see generosity? Do they see compassion? Do they see love? Once again, we steward those things. But a steward has to give a report. Jesus often spoke about stewardship in his parables. There will come a day where everything that you and I have done as a Christian, we will have to give a record for to the Lord. How we spent our time, how we stewarded our possessions, how we raised our children, how we loved our neighbor, all of those things. And I don't say that this morning for you to be scared. I say that for the same reason why I remind myself of those things, because I need to remember. I need to remember that I am held accountable for everything that I do. A Christian's stewardship is motivated not by obligation, but by a joyful sense of privilege. Now, I underlined that. I circled that. When we give, remember, not just financially, but when you give your time, when you give your talents, when you give anything under your care, do you do it because you're obligated, or do you do it with a joyful sense of privilege? There's a big difference there. And once again, we all get cranky. We all get in moods. And we have to say, Lord, clean me up. Get me focused on you, Father. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. May you and I be focused on him and not focused on this world. For the glory of God. I said this before. No matter how old you are this morning, in the grand scheme of life, your life is a vapor in the wind. I love to talk to people, and they'll talk to me about their grandfather or great-grandfather or someone who has been passed on for 60, 70 years. And I think about the impact that that person made all those years ago that's impacting people today. And then I think about, well, what about my life? Will my life impact people generations after? You and I, we have to understand that if we steward the way we are biblically called to, we can impact generations to come. If we serve, if we invest, if we love, according to Jesus, then he can take a little and he can make much. All right, let's come to the fun stuff here, the tithe. There's a lot of thoughts on this. So, I said earlier, stewardship is not all about money, but often when I say the word stewardship, that's what we think about. We think about money. And please, if there's one thing that you walk away with this morning, walk away with this. Jesus does not just care about your money. Jesus cares about everything you have, everything you are. Now, let's talk about money. Does Jesus care about how you spend your money? Yes. What did I say wrong about that sentence, by the way? Your money. Now, I did not grow up super poor, but I grew up struggling. Most of it was self-induced by bad decisions on stewardship by my parents. But because of that, I tend to cling to finances. You can ask Amber. I always think that we are one paycheck away from the poorhouse. I mean, that's just my mindset. That's just the fear that I live with. And because of that, giving financially has always been hard for me. Now, the Lord has always been gracious. The Lord has always been giving. And one thing that I'm thankful for, when I was a young man in my late teens, early 20s, I was in church. And one thing that my leaders taught me in that church was, if you will begin to give to God with little, as God blesses you, you will be able to give more. I remember the first time that I tithed, it was $20. And I remember thinking, God, I can't afford this. I cannot afford to give 20% or $20. And as God blessed and as the paychecks grew, I was able to continue to give because I had that in my mind already. Now, I want to mention here, what is the tithe? So the tithe is 1/10 of a person's income and belongings given to God through the church. Old Testament, we see the tithe throughout. We see Abraham giving the tithe to Melchizedek. We see the Lord through the law telling the Israelites to give a tithe. The tithe would support the Levites. It would support the priest. And so we see the tithe throughout the Old Testament. And one of the questions that I get the most, I would say one of the biggest discussions that I have, is since you and I are under the new covenant, since we are under Jesus and not the Old Testament, not the law, does the tithe still hold true? That's the question. And here's the answer. Are we tied to the tithe by law? No. But are we tied to the influence of the tithe? And I would say yes. So here's the danger. The danger is in the New Testament, we see offerings. We see that the Lord, Jesus, told us to be giving. Jesus, bird have nest. Foxes have holes, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We see the early church, they were known for selling what they had, coming together. We see that they took up offering, they took up donations, they took care of one another. And what we have to understand is when we compare the tithe to the Old Testament and the offering of the New Testament, and when we say, I'm not tied to the 10%, because we think that's a lot, I just want to be an offering church, we think somehow that an offering church is less than the tithe. And I want to tell you that's untrue. Do you know that I wish Jesus just wanted 10% of what we had? He doesn't. Jesus goes above the tithe. Jesus wants everything you are. He doesn't just want 10% of your time. He wants 100%. He doesn't want 10% of you as a husband or a wife. He wants 100%. He doesn't want 10% of you being a godly parent. He wants 100%. Jesus does not want 10%. He wants everything. So if our mindset is, well, I think the offering is less than the tithe, that's not a good biblical model to hold to. So I'm going to tell you how it makes sense to me, and we'll see where we are. Once again, this is what I've seen growing up in healthy churches, and this is how I strive to live my life, how Amber and I try to manage things. Definition of tithing: specific and regular 10% of one's income to the Lord through the local church. That means if the Lord blesses you with $100, what would your tithe be? 10. And you give that 10% to the church. Now, I don't enjoy talking about tithing because that 10% pays my salary. And so I feel like I'm up here asking for money. So I feel strange. For years, I told the Lord that I would never go into full-time ministry because I didn't want the church to be responsible for paying my way. And after 10 years of bivocational, the Lord made me go into full-time ministry. And the truth is, it's hard, but it allows the minister to have to trust the church. But what we see here is this tithe, the biblical principle of tithing. Every time that I tithe, I am reminded that what I have is not mine. So on a monthly basis, when we tithe our money, and when I think about my bills, and when I think about savings, and when I think about all those things, and that 10% goes out of that, that could go somewhere else. And when that 10% goes to the church, I am reminded that that other 90% is God's too. I don't own the other 90%. But the Lord allows me to have that. Now, if we're not careful biblically, we can look at giving 10% in a negative way. And once again, well, Tyler, we're not under tithing. We are New Testament. I agree. So why do we give 10%? Because this is a biblical example that we see from the Old Testament. Now, what is offering? Additional. Any additional gifts given above and beyond the tithe. This month, we're praying for blankets. You have loaded my office up with blankets that will be donated to the nursing home. I'm so thankful for that. Into the month, into January, Awana store. Next week, Thanksgiving offering. I mean, there's a lot of needs, and we prayerfully ask you to pray about those offerings. Now, the reason, and I know some people, they do not believe that tithing is biblical in the New Testament. And I'll say this, and then we'll wrap up. Offerings always changes. One month it's blankets for the nursing home. In a few months it will be something else. And so how you give in offerings are never the same. Sometimes you give more, sometimes you give less. But that tithe is the same. And you and I, as we give, and once again, not just financially, but as we give of who we are, we should ask ourselves, am I giving the way the Lord wants me to? Am I giving in a godly, biblical way? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. This is the words of Paul here. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying there's needs, and let us help those needs. Now, I bring this verse up because when people say we do not see the word tithing in the New Testament, I agree. But I believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 is tithing. It is a regular gift given not out of what is needed, but out of what we have to what is needed. And so we see this here from Paul. But I want us to finish this morning with this thought. When we give, are we giving cheerfully or are we giving out of obligation? The Bible clearly tells us that we are to give as a cheerful giver. Giving's hard. Financially, giving time, giving resources. And yet, Jesus gave himself. The early church gave of themselves. Selfishness does not reveal Christ. Generosity reveals Christ. So what are we showing to the world? Selfishness or generosity? Final thought this morning, two things. Stewardship is managing what God has given us, and this is critical to our walk with the Lord. Think about that list, church. Think about what the Lord has given you. How are you stewarding those things? And the second thing, giving is a form of worship. Now, I began with that thought this morning. Worship's many things. Worship is gathering together. Worship is praising God through song. It's listening and studying God's word together. It's your own quiet time. All those things are worship. But a part of worship is stewardship. And let that not be. And churches, as I prepared for this lesson this morning, churches tend to have two thoughts on talking about stewardship, specifically giving. One is they talk about it all the time. And that is what I don't want to become. I do not want to become a TV commercial salesman. But at the same time, I realize that we are constantly asking you for things. But why are we doing that? Because we want you to be part of the ministry. There are needs all around us. So when we ask of something, are we doing it just to get something out of you, or are we doing it because you and I need to come together as we minister? Now, the opposite of churches who only talk about giving is churches who never talk about giving. And that's also dangerous. Because if you never talk about giving, then you and I can forget that giving and stewardship is a part of worship. Church, I want to say this before I pray. Since Amber and I have been here, we have been blessed by your giving, by your lovingness, by your thoughtfulness. When I transitioned into the pastorship, I began to look at all the different things and all the different budgets that we have and the different line items. And I remember thinking, man, as a church, we have a lot of things that we do. In the children's ministry, in the youth ministry, in different community outreaches, in different missions that we support, on the local level, on the state level, we are very active. Very active. Last week we talked about missions. We talked about all the things that we do, both community-wide and worldwide. And I want you to understand that the only way we can do that is because of you. And that does not go unnoticed. Your giving, your willingness to serve, does not go unnoticed. And I am thankful for that. I am thankful that this church has a history of giving, and it has a history of serving, and it has a history of being good stewards. And it's my prayer that you and I continue to do that, that we continue to be biblical stewards, and that we continue to show generosity to a lost and dying world. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Lord, I am thankful. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for you planting this church and this community years and years ago. Father and Lord, this church has changed locations. Father, Lord, you have change the people within this church. But Lord, we are here on this hill at this moment for a reason. And Lord, if you tarry, Father, I pray, Lord, that this church will continue generations to come to be a stronghold for the gospel in this part of the state. Lord, I pray, Lord, that how we steward today will speak volumes about who we are in generations to come, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, for each of us to just first off recognize that we are stewards. And Lord, I pray that we are thankful for what you have given us, Lord. And Lord, let us not be selfish, but Lord, let us be generous with our time, with our finances, with our thoughts, with our actions. Lord, with everything that we are, Father, let us be good biblical stewards to you. Because this is all for you, for the glory of God. We ask this in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.